Hello, Amsterdam.
Hello, Katie. I don't know where you are, actually. Where are you?
London this weekend.
Hello, London.
Oh, my God. You sound like Barry White. How sick are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I've just got a horrible cold. It happens to all of us sometimes.
You're the sick man of Europe.
Hey.
Ba-dum-bum. What's going on, apart from being really sick?
Well, we've been away for a week and it feels like we haven't done this podcast for months.
I know.
But you didn't miss me because you saw me in real life, didn't you? You came to Amsterdam and that was really nice. Katie wasn't even that mean to me.
Not even that mean. I am missing you, actually, after spending quite a weird weekend with you, which we can't really talk about. We did something quite mysterious and all will become clear in a few months' time. But I'm really happy to be back because last week a bunch of stuff happened that was like, oh, this would be really good for the podcast. And then we weren't here. So we're very glad to be back, listeners, and we hope that you didn't lose the will to live without us. Probably people didn't notice.
So much has been happening in Europe. Does this happen every week?
Probably, yeah. It's quite a large and busy continent.
But have you been happy back in Paris despite missing me?
I have. Although I'm now back in London, I'm in very wet England, and I'm just after this on my way to our jingle writer, Jim Barnes' house, and we're going to play with his new dog and probably drink shots.
And write new jingles, mainly.
And write new jingles all weekend. But it has been good to be back in Paris, yeah. The Eurostar is fixed. It's amazing. All is as it should be.
That's great news. Congratulations.
And in general, all is well because we have a great show coming up. We are going to be talking about a rather intriguing phenomenon in Sweden, which is the several thousand people who have microchipped themselves. That is not just a thing that you can do to stop your cat from getting lost. Humans can do it too. And for whatever reason, it's a thing that seems to have taken off very tentatively in Sweden, more than anywhere else. To talk about why, as well as the limits of this slightly odd new technology, we're going to be talking to one such microchipped human, the Swedish tech journalist Mimi Billing. But first. Have we got a commemoration corner this week?
Yes. So it was the 70th anniversary of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, aka NATO, last Friday.
Oh, yeah.
You may have noticed. The event was celebrated in the same hall in Washington where the original 12 allies had met to sign the treaty back in 1949. As you may have noticed, NATO has been under some stress lately for various reasons, which I won't get into now, only some of which are due to Trump's presence in the White House. But US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo did say the following at the anniversary celebrations. He said, "No military alliance in the world can remotely do what we do." So, oh no, have you caught my cold, Katie?
Yeah, sounds like it. Just ignore me.
He also went on to diss the Germans for wanting a new gas pipeline going from Russia to Europe. But hey, maybe everything is just fine. Do you know how many nations are now members of NATO, Katie? So it was originally 12.
Oh no, don't put me on the spot.
Okay, well it's 29. And interesting fact, there are actually 6 EU member states that are not members of NATO.
Ooh.
They are Austria, Cyprus, Finland, Ireland, Malta and Sweden. Is that 6? Can I count? Yes.
Yeah, well done. Why aren't they in it?
Yeah, for different varying reasons. But we don't have time for that because we've got to do Good Week, Bad Week.
Nice save. Who has had a bad week, Dominic?
It has been a bad week for the Russian government, who have come under fierce international pressure to release around 100 whales that they had supposedly rescued from an illegal transportation. They had been on their way to China, they'd been captured illegally, and they were going to be sold to Chinese marine parks. Now, why are we criticizing the Russian government after they rescued these whales from lives of captivity in marine parks? Well, they've been criticised because the whales, which are 10 orcas and 87 beluga whales, are currently being held in Vladivostok in pretty terrible conditions. Conditions that have been dubbed whale jails. And why haven't they been released? It isn't as easy as simply releasing them back into the sea immediately. They are very young and many would probably not survive in the wild due to their dependency on hand feeding and or skin diseases. Apparently that's a problem in whales.
It's a lot of skin to cover, isn't it?
It is. But luckily the international pressure seems to be making a difference. And the Russians called on 2 world experts, Jean-Michel Cousteau of the Ocean Future Society and Charles Finnick, Executive Director of the Whale Sanctuary Project, to come and help create a release plan because there was quite a lot of disagreement amongst the Russian scientists, which is why it's all been taking so long. Apparently, they will try to release the whales as close to where they were captured as possible in the hope that perhaps they might be able to find some of their friends and family.
Oh, that sound you can hear is my heart breaking.
Yeah, so good luck, whales and whale helpers. I'm sure the big wide ocean will be scary, but we'll also have lots of opportunity. I think this might be one of the first times in this podcast that the Bad Week story actually has like almost a happy ending.
Yeah, that's not terrible, is it? We've had much worse.
It's almost always the other way around that our good week is actually bad week.
we need to rethink this whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Who's having a good week, Katie?
Well, I've been wanting to talk about this good week for about 3 weeks now, and it is finally bursting forth out of my mouth. It's been a good week for Zuzana Chaputova. She has gone from being an environmental campaigner who has never been a politician before to being elected as the new president of Slovakia. What do we know about her? She is a lawyer by profession. Some in the Anglophone media have nicknamed her the Erin Brockovich of Slovakia after that film with Julia Roberts in it, playing a badass environmental campaigner. And like Erin Brockovich, Chaputova is famous for standing up for a local cause. She spent 14 years fighting these plans to set up a landfill site in the small town where she lives, and she won. The crazy story of her becoming president actually dates back to something that we talked about many months ago on this podcast, which was the murder of Jan Kuciak and his fiancée last year. Jan was, of course, a brilliant investigative journalist, and he and his fiancée Martina were brutally murdered just when he was about to publish an investigation into these really murky ties between politicians and the mafia. The killing sparked this huge wave of public anger, mass street protests, the biggest protest since the fall of communism. And in general, they also sparked this sense that the political class in Slovakia was just really deeply corrupt. It turned out that the main suspect had links to powerful politicians and officials, and the prime minister ended up resigning. Chaputova was among those who took to the streets over the murders, and it was what motivated her to run for office for the first time in her life. She ran on this pretty great slogan, "Stand up to evil." And she also ran a pretty classy campaign, which she said showed that you didn't need to win by attacking your opponent, that it is possible to be decent in modern politics. So she stands for clean politics and liberal values as well, at a time when liberal values are really not in vogue in Central Europe. Her opponent spent the campaign calling migrants rapists and gay people a threat to society, because that's the kind of message that apparently has been going down well lately, and not just in Slovakia. So I kind of think that Chaputova is the proof that we need that you don't have to be a populist xenophobe to win elections in Europe in 2019. You can win on a positive message. So I want to wish her the best of luck. I live in a country where we also had a progressive leader elected on a wave of anger against the political class. And in France, things have not stayed that hopey and changey since the election. So I hope that things go a little better in Slovakia.
I feel like lots of people on social media have been like, oh my God, we're fine. It's
we are
absolutely
saved.
Fine. Like, there are some parts of the world that are going to always be fine, which is placing quite a lot of pressure on her.
Yeah, it is a lot of pressure.
She doesn't have that much power, does she?
No, it is a mostly ceremonial job, but she has said that she wants to spend her role standing up for like LGBT rights and speaking out for the fight against corruption elsewhere in Europe, which actually is really important right now, because if you look east to Romania, for example, the government there is waging quite a big campaign against their own anti-corruption heroine over there, Laura Caldruța Kövesi. So that's not great. She has the power to appoint judges and I think also the prime minister, but it is mostly a ceremonial job. If you want to know more about this election, there is no better place to start than the podcast run by our former guest, Jacob Jackie, on Central Europe. It is called In Between Europe. They just put out an episode all about Chaputova, and you will find a link to it right there on the screen. Oh.
Yeah, I'm coughing rather a lot. I'm sorry. It's been a bad week for me to be ill because I've started a new rehearsal process in which it's like a dance opera, and I am in very close contact with many colleagues, poor things, who I've been like coughing and spluttering over. It's also a week in which I've decided that I cannot ever go into politics, because there have been things that have been filmed and photographed in these rehearsals of the weird things we're doing in rehearsals that I think if they came out, my political career would be over.
Is this the one where you would potentially get paid extra for being naked?
No, actually, that was another show which I discovered I wouldn't get paid extra, so I decided not to get naked. This one, I won't get paid extra either, but might be naked.
That one you should protest by just like wearing as many clothes as possible, like wearing a big roll neck.
Yeah, I really should. So yeah, I do weird things in my job sometimes, and I'm often looking around in the middle of a weird improvisation of some kind of otherworldly, orgiastic pile of people. And I think, is this really my job? Another person who does weird things for their job is Mimi Billing, who is a journalist for the Financial Times European Tech branch, Sifted. And she got a microchip installed in her hand as part of her work as a tech journalist. I think maybe that's even weirder than what I do. It's a practice that for some reason has taken off, particularly in Sweden. So we're now going to give her a call and find out why she did this, why anyone would do this, and why Sweden. Hi, Mimi. Thank you so much for speaking to us. We read your article about human chipping and found it very interesting and somewhat terrifying. Could you start by telling us why you wanted one?
So it was for like maybe 2.5 years ago that I started reading about it and was thinking about, God, I really want one, because I could see maybe the future in it. Because if you had a chip in your hand, you could actually use it on the underground, or use it instead of a credit card when you go to the shop, or maybe even like a key to your door, so you wouldn't have to, if you lost your keys, you'd just be fine because you have your hand with you all the time anyway. So that was what I was thinking. And it was this kind of VR center opening up, and they're offering people to actually get this kind of chip implant. So I was like, yay, why not? I want to be one of the first to get one.
So how did it actually work? Where is it? And how did they put it in? And most importantly for me, because I'm a massive coward, did it hurt?
Yes, it hurt a lot, much more than I actually imagined. And I mean, I don't like syringes that much, because I mean, obviously, who does? But this one is a little bit bigger than a normal one that you use like for taking blood samples, etc. You can think of it as a piece of rice, almost like that kind of size. So you would think about having a syringe to actually fit a piece of rice in
quite
there.
Quite thick.
Yeah. And I have it then on top of my hand, 1 to 2 centimeters from my thumb. So it's like on top of my hand, and you can see it all the time, really. It's like a little blue mark.
Wow. And how often have you ended up using it?
Never. I mean, I'm one of the few people who actually got it without having a real purpose to use it in the beginning, because most people here in Sweden, they get it because, I mean, maybe their office space is actually making it available for opening up doors, etc., like entering the office space, or to printing out papers, or to use the chocolate slot machine at work. But for me, working in a media that did not have that, I wasn't really like able to use it at all. But I know that maybe that's just because of sheer laziness, that I didn't get my iPhone 6 to work with it, obviously, because iPhone 6 doesn't work with the chip usually, because it's like near field communication, which is the technology that these chips actually use, that have worked much better on Androids than Apple mobiles. And I think that therefore many people in my situation has mainly used it for 1 or 2 things, like getting into the office or something like that.
But the kind of general use things that you imagined you might be able to use it for when you put it in a couple of years ago, like buying a metro ticket or something like that. So companies haven't been coming up with that kind of thing. Is that part of the problem?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was really, the underground here in Sweden has been really slow at actually allowing NFC into their kind of travel cards, because otherwise it would be the same technology, so that wouldn't be a problem. The kind of railways in Sweden, they allows for it for monthly cards, so that's kind of cool. And also the gym does it here, but otherwise it's been quite rare that people have been letting it work within their kind of systems.
And despite that, it seems that Sweden is like, has become a bit of a hub for people getting them implanted. Why do you think Swedish people are so interested in this?
We are early adopters. We like new technology, and we also have a great trust in society in some way, and governments and companies. So we don't actually believe that anyone would do us any harm with intention anyway. And also, it was the Swedish people, we live quite far away from each other usually. We are kind of spread out over the country. So internet had a huge impact for us. And therefore, like, everything new is kind of that we kind of get into it because we don't want to be the last one on it and we won't want to be able to use it as well as good as possible.
Yeah, I find it really interesting how like history and geography and things like that can really affect like how we view these technologies. I imagine in somewhere like Germany, for example, where they've got really big concerns over privacy for historic reasons, something like this, which could potentially be exploited for in terms of like who gets access to all the data that's collected on these chips, for example, might be a bigger concern in a country like Germany.
It seems like Germany and also Holland is pretty like big on security in that sense. But also Norway is not as keen on new technologies like this as the Swedes. But the Finnish are, I mean, almost as interested. So it's interesting to see these differences in countries, absolutely.
Can they track you with GPS using this technology? Because that would terrify me.
This is not actually sending off any signals on its own. So no. It cannot. Well, I wouldn't say that because maybe there is some way that you can track it. But on the other hand, I mean, because obviously we use this in like dogs and cats for like 10, 15 years maybe, just to be able to, when we find a loose one, just be able to say, hey, this is the owner of it. But I think that with the kind of security issues that being people are following you around, I mean, we're walking around with our mobiles and they are usually very easy to track, right? So I don't think that when we have mobile phones and so on, the way that we use them today, I think the chip in our hands is probably the least of our concerns.
Another thing that I'm worried about, could we potentially get into a situation where like people's arms are getting cut off to get their microchips? I'm just like trying to think of these the most terrifying situation.
I mean, really, wouldn't it be easy to take someone's wallet in that case or mobile phone? Obviously, that could be something in like, imagine if the world is turned upside down and everything goes absolutely crazy. But in that case, I think probably all our kind of ship and everything will be turned off and the internet will be turned off as well. So I suppose that I believe that people are not actually that crazy to go off chopping people's hands off. Also, it's much easier to hack into these chips in that case by using one of those little machines with some kind of cards. You can actually hack into them by just putting the kind of machine against someone's wallet or something like that. And in that case, I mean, one could do it to the hand, but I suppose, again, it would be easier to do it to a wallet because you probably feel if someone is using it, you know, near your hand.
Yeah, and in a way, I guess it's probably safer than having even a smartwatch or something. A smartwatch is more easily stolen than a microchip under your skin. I was actually wondering whether you think that smartwatches have kind of taken the wind out of the sails of these human chips to some extent.
I think it could. I know that this, both the kind of smartphones, you know, the well-known like Apple and so on, but also that there are other ones coming that are looking less techy, which are actually getting chip implanted in them and can be used for payments, etc. And I think that the problem is that since we cannot pay with a chip in our hands, it has kind of stopped the kind of development of it, because if you're not able to actually do the things that you want to do, like pay with them, use it for your home security system, etc., then why would you actually put in a chip in your hand that actually hurts? I mean, now thinking about it like 2 years afterwards, yes, maybe I should have thought about it a little bit more before I actually put one in. But and also the chips that are coming that can be used for payments, etc., they are much bigger than the one I have. So I don't know, maybe it will die before it actually becomes commonplace.
Because I was going to say, Mimi, that was actually my last question, really. Do you think this is just a fad, or do you think this is something that ultimately will take off and in 10, 15, 20 years is going to be widely used everywhere?
I mean, I think for some things, I think it would be useful. I mean, for example, if you would have a health condition, for example, and if you could have something that always tracked your body in some way, and if it needed to be internal, I think a chip could be very useful. And maybe send off signals then when something was wrong. Maybe for payments or for other things, maybe it will become obsolete. Maybe we actually will get like a lens on our eyes or something like that. That would be easier and not hurt as much to actually to use instead. And then we wouldn't have to scan it in the same way either. What do you think?
Yeah, I would much rather go for a contact lens than an injection. because yeah. I'm such a scaredy cat and pain folk. Although again, I was just talking to my friend about that Black Mirror episode where you could like see the world through people's eyes.
That's crazy.
Maybe you could do something similar with those contact lenses, I don't know. More security risks.
I read that some organization were thinking about using it for drug testing for athletes.
Mm.
And I thought that was quite an interesting application of it. Also a bit terrifying, but are there any other like interesting applications that you can see on the horizon or that you've heard are in development?
I suppose the health tech one is the most interesting that way. I think it's fun, and I think that people should keep on like biohacking themselves, because who knows what's going to come out of it. And I think it's a little bit intriguing, but I don't know if that's for the future really. But yeah,
what happens when it like becomes defunct? How long can you keep this in your hand?
Oh yes, that is actually a good question. It's when I actually put it in, I heard that it was 5 years. So I have another like couple of years to test it out before I have to take it out. And I'm a little bit concerned about that. So I'm not going to do it one day before I have to, I think.
It'll be worth it.
I very much hope you meet that dream of using it to take an underground train. It will happen, Mimi. So are you going to get one of these chips, Dominic?
No.
Oh, I was thinking it'd be quite useful if I got you chipped, actually. Like... I can foresee a day.
Your dog.
I can foresee a day where like I could tell when you're cycling home on your way to podcast or something like that. Or maybe in 10 years' time you'll be recording this straight onto your hand.
That would actually be really useful if I didn't have to get the bloody microphone out.
Just talking to your hand.
I just look like a cool security guard.
Oh, like in the bodyguard or something.
Yeah. I'm up for that. If they can put a microphone in it, I'll do it.
I think you'll still look crazy.
Do you want a happy ending?
I do want a happy ending. Hit me.
Our happy ending this week is for residents in the northern Finisterre beaches in northwest France, where a decades-long mystery has been solved. For about 30 years, telephones in the shape of Garfield the cat have been sporadically washing up on the shore of beaches in the area. Yes, you heard me right. Telephones, plastic telephones in the shape of Garfield the cat.
Who wouldn't want one of those?
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody could work out why. And it started to really annoy some of the local residents. A local beach cleaning organization got involved 18 years ago, and they've been campaigning to try and solve the mystery. And solve it they did, finally, after a local farmer remembered that he had discovered a container in a partially submerged cave after a storm in the 1980s. And he thought that perhaps that was the container that was slowly leaking Garfield phones. This local farmer directed the beach cleaners to this very tricky to get to cave. It's actually only accessible at low tide. And it was confirmed the container which had fallen off a boat was the Garfield phone container. It must be such a relief to residents, I can imagine, to at least know like why these phones have been washing up. And I'm afraid that's all the solace they're going to get at the moment, because it seems that the phones aren't going to stop washing up as they haven't been able to remove the container or close it up yet due to the awkward position of the container in this cave. Wah, wah.
So is this a happy ending?
Yeah, I mean, it's another happy ending that's not really a happy ending. But it's fun.
I really want one of these telephones now. If anybody in... Where is it? Northern France? Brittany?
Yeah, it's Northern Finisterre. It's near Brest, actually, where we went, Katie. Do you remember? Years ago.
No, because I wasn't there.
Oh, sorry. I went with all our friends and without you, and I can't remember that you weren't there.
I was there doing a job interview, so I stayed back with Vishnu. And we had a lot of fun on our own, actually, so there.
I'm sure you did. I felt a right tit when I left Brest.
You've been sitting on that pun for about 12 years now, and it's still as good as ever.
It's my uncle who came up with it. Thank you, Timothy.
Are you serious? Yeah. I thought you've been claiming credit for it for years.
No, I said it was him.
Oh, I feel like you need to credit him more, obviously. Well done, Uncle Tim.
And well done, Juan, on our Patreon page for flagging this one up. Although, Katie, I think you'd seen it before, because it... Didn't it come from your place of work?
It did. It went like super viral. I think it's our best tweet ever. I think we would have preferred it to be for some like worthy piece of reporting. But actually, people just really like Garfield telephones. Who knew?
You could also be suggesting wonderful stories for us to talk about on our Facebook page for Patreon supporters. So please do sign up and help us keep making this podcast. We have a few people to thank this week. Julie Jameau, Anna Climo and Daniel Roberts, some newbies. And find us, patreon.com/Europeans Podcast. I can't speak. I need to go, Katie.
Europeans Podcast. Dominic, go and like drink some hot lemon or something. We'll be back next week with more tales from this very large, very damp landmass. In the meantime, you can find us on the internet and come talk to us. We are on Twitter at Europeans Pod, on Instagram at Europeans Podcast. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And what's the other one? Facebook.
We're on Facebook.
We're just there. Type it in. You'll find us. Get well, Dominic. Everybody else, stay warm and stay away from germy people like my co-host. Have a great week and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Isbohom.